Everyone say, I'm here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, Doreen. How you doing? Congratulations on the another granddaughter. Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lots of babies coming. It's the year of babies. We're all settling. We're all getting settled. Everybody's settled in. So, in your heart, you're going to have to pray for me because I am so jacked up, stirred up about what I'm going to be sharing on Sunday morning that it's going to be hard for it not to come out now. You know? Yeah, I mean, I just cannot. I wish today was Sunday. I just cannot wait to share with you in the Word. Now, just give me an honest show of hands. How many of you have been reading the chapters that I told you to read in 1 Samuel? Wow. Praise Jesus. For those of you like, I have no idea what he's talking about, they were 1 Samuel 16, 17, and 18, and I want you to read those. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 17, and 18. I want you to see what the Lord shows you, and then we're going to come back together. We're actually going to back up to 16, and I'm going to teach a lot of stuff there that God's been showing me. I'm real excited. The breakthrough, the future of the breakthrough for this church in this region is through the Word. All right. You understand? It's through the teaching of the Word. Yeah. Jesus said that the Bible said that Jesus could do no mighty work in his hometown. Watch this. So, everyone say so. Okay. The so is, so in response to that issue, he went on a circuit teaching. That means he taught here, he taught there, he taught here, he taught there. Then he went back and taught at those places again. Why? Because there was unbelief in the region, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so because there was no manifestation, you know, he said he just healed a few sick people, but he could do no mighty work. There weren't people getting raised from the dead or blind eyes or any of these type of things. They weren't happening. Jesus. You understand? Not some other prophet. We're talking about Jesus because the unbelief hindered him. So the thing that removed the unbelief in the region is the circuit of teaching. And when people, God's people, begin to value the word of God, pay attention to what I'm saying. God's people begin to value the word of God, okay, to give measure to what God says. Guess what happens? He says more. And if you don't give value to what God says, then it says even what you have is taken away. You understand? Why do you want him to speak to you more? Because all the breakthrough is going to come in your life through the word. I know people love revival, and revival is great, and it's awesome, but you understand, revival, there's no, I'm gonna blow some of your theology, and then I'm going to get to this. Sorry. There's nowhere in the New Testament that you are told to pray for and contend for revival. It's not in the scriptures. You're supposed to stay vived. We praise God for revival, but listen, if you have a steady, steady diet of the word, you'll be fine. You understand? Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? I promise you, if you have a steady, steady diet of the word, you won't be believing for some experience to happen. And hey, I love them. You know, many people get healed, people get saved, it's awesome. But when the revival's over, okay, you understand? And it comes, revive means you take something that's dead and you bring it back to life. Then you know, what do you do then? You need to live with the perpetual word of God, valuing it, giving measure to what he's saying. And then he'll say more to you. And he said, my word will not return to me void, right? But it'll accomplish and be successful in everything that I sent it to do. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and gives life to the flowers and the plants and causes them to bud, so shall it be with the word that comes forth from my mouth, but it will not return void, and it will accomplish the thing that I sent it to do. And when we learn to value that, the troubles in our life will cease. You understand? You've got to understand the breakthrough that you need is a value of the word. So come Sunday, and I'm going to give you more word. Because what happens is Sunday morning, people are like, wow, we went 2 weeks in a row. I'm telling you, the stupid voices of the enemy come because it don't want you sitting in a place where you understand. It's like, oh, we're just going to sing some songs. Pastor's going to preach something. No, you're coming into a place where it's snowing. And if you receive that, you understand what I'm saying? He says that you'll experience success. David said that you'll meditate on it day and night, and then you'll be successful in what? Everything. Whatever you do, it says you'll prosper in. Why? Because the word's living. Amen? All right. Hey, listen, we're going to quickly just do some things. Most of what we're doing tonight is really in the spirit. I appreciate all of you coming out this Wednesday night to honor, the transition from Reflections, the history of Reflections, and those who've gone before, and into the transition to Harvest Church. But this is all about tonight really something that's taking place, not just in the natural, but it's in the spirit. And it is a condition of the hearts of the leadership and of the people of this church moving forward that we honor those that have gone before. Amen. Here's how I see it, okay? That God is the master builder, and a sub-crew comes in, and they do all the work that they're supposed to do, and when that sub-crew is done, then they leave, and then a new sub-crew comes in. You with me? And, if you're the people that you're the new sub-crew, and you've come in, you're putting in the drywall, you wouldn't be putting in the drywall unless the framing crew had been there and done what they were supposed to do, right? And the framers couldn't have been there if somebody hadn't poured the foundation. And the foundation wouldn't be poured if somebody hadn't come and cut the trees down and done the plowing. You see what I'm saying? And so, I remember when we built a house years ago, and there were people, the different crews would write stuff about the other crews in the porta potties. What do you do when you're in a porta potty? Read the graffiti on the wall. And I remember looking up going, seeing prep crew sucks, and they were all talking smack about each other. And it's like, yeah, but if they hadn't prepped, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You understand? So this is about guarding our hearts, okay, and recognizing that everything that's going on here in the new vision and where God's taking us could not happen without those that had labored and toiled before any of us ever even came. You with me? Because there were people that were called to start this church, Reflections Church. This is the 11th year, and this is really interesting. 11 is the number of transition in the scriptures, okay? 11 represents transition. It's the 11th year. It's the change, okay? Read Deuteronomy. Find that for me. Deuteronomy 11:11. I want to just show you something when that comes up, okay? Because why is 11:11? God's like, boom, I want you to get this. So I'm going to give you a couple 11s. But the land which you cross over to possess in a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven, okay? This is when they were crossing the River Jordan. That we've been talking about what? Them coming out of Egypt into the promised land, or coming out of Egypt into the wilderness, facing the giants and crossing what river? No. The Jordan, first the Red Sea, the Jordan. You cross the Jordan, deal with your giants, come into the promised land. Transition. You understand? Transitioning from what? Wilderness to promise. You with me? And so this is the year. Reflections Church was started 11 years ago. There was a youth pastor, a Southern Baptist youth pastor by the name of Jeff Hall that was at Gulf to Lake Church. And he had it in his heart to build a church in Citrus Springs, Florida. And he said the Lord told him to do that. So he came, and the church started 11 years ago at the middle school. And guess who was working at the middle school? I was the department head of the English department back then when the church was getting going. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I used to walk up and down that street where our property is now at our lunch hour and pray. it's almost like God had a plan. Amen. I knew Jeff. I respected him. He was a good guy. We used to do youth ministry together at Crystal River High School when I ended up working there. And, enjoyed him. We visited Reflections a couple times. One of the board members, I taught his daughters. That was the connection for when we came here. They started with a big bang. They did a lot of outreach in the community, and they had a real heart to reach out to the community. They baptized in one day 68 people. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. It's impressive. A few months ago, and I was out doing something in the yard, the Lord spoke to me, and he said this. He said, that the latter rain is greater than the former rain, and he reminded me of those 68 souls that got baptized in one day, because I'm getting ahead of myself, but the future is all about souls, okay? Everything's been done to come to this place where we go out and reach. So The church was started, like I said, 2008. This is the 11th year. Pastor Jeff Hawley pastored for 6 years. Then a young man by the name of Taylor Roberson pastored for just a year. But during that year, it was a transitional year for them as they moved from the community center. They went from the school to the community center into this building right here. So during that year was an important year to get into this building, which, by the way, the church owns this building. We do have a mortgage on it, but we have a ton of equity in the building, but we don't rent this. That's my point. Okay. From there, I became the pastor just almost 4 years ago on Father's Day. I preached on Father's Day. It was my first time. For those of you that find this interesting, 1 year to the day, Father's Day, when I was my second year here on that day, where it was 1 year, was the first day on Father's Day that Pastor Otis took over Calvary. You know, we thought that was kind of interesting, you know, and it has something to do in my mind with Father's Day. Amen. It's all about the Father. Praise God. So like I said, they met at the middle school, the community center in the current building. They had vision to build a building, and they purchased the 6 acres that we own across the street from Central Ridge Elementary. That property was for sale at one point for around $400,000 because it's prime real estate. They got the 6 acres for $38,000 cash. Yeah, favor of God. God wanted a church there. Amen. Praise God. So we're so excited about that. A great man of God walked that property with me, and he told me, when you build the building, it's going to be just like that. They're going to tell you it's going to be this much, but it's not even going to be close to how much that they said it's going to be. I don't care how much it is, as long as God pays for it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Start praying about that. All right. So their vision was to be a reflection of Christ and very focused on community outreach and evangelism. As we said, they baptized many people. They were very involved in athletics and young people in the community and doing a lot of outreach and had a great vision for being part of the community. Pastor Jeff, I remember he said once that if a church was to leave a community, that the community should feel the absence of the church. And I remember when I heard him say that, that I thought I really appreciated that, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. And although we're going to reach nations, we're going to talk about that, we still believe that it's really good for us to be able to reach out to our local community. And if we were to suddenly disappear, we would hope that the community would feel our absence. Amen? Okay. So that brings us kind of into the present day. I told you in 2015, Father's Day was my first time preaching here. I began to teach. I was still teaching school then, so I taught and pastored the church for one full year, which was an experience. It was also, for those of you that taught high school, teaching all 4 blocks to make extra money and coaching soccer too. So at the end of that year, I decided I wanted to live another year. So I decided, which one of my full-time jobs am I going to give up? And the church had grown, and if I had left and a new pastor came, it would have been 4 senior pastors in 4 years, and that's pretty rough. So because Jeff left, then Taylor 1 year, and then me, and then there would have been somebody else. So we go through a lot of prayer, and it was the teaching career God had that I loved. God had me lay that on the altar and take over the church full-time. From then, we've been really spending a lot of our time building staff, building teams, discipleship, and missions. The first month that I went full-time here and left teaching, we led a first mission trip to Uganda. And we saw God really move in Uganda as we launched a church there, a church building project. Yeah. Oh, there's a picture. There we are. Some of you that are here, you were with me there. I was a little younger looking. Wasn't that long ago either. That's a little scary. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. Amen. So that was our first trip to Uganda as Reflections Church. And while we were there, we went and walked a piece of property at a school, one of the high schools that's for orphans. The plan there is that they eventually have 1,000 kids. They have about 500 right now. About 95% of them are orphans. A few of them are from the local community. And they did not have a chapel. They did not have a church to meet in. They would have church in the cafeteria. So we decided that we wanted to take on a building project and build them a chapel in Africa. So we walked the grounds and we prayed with all the kids. And when we came home, we sent money and they started building the church. You guys, most of you know this. And what I want to do is kind of give you a little update, because we've got a video of what the building looks right now, because it's almost finished. Okay, still got a little bit. They've got the plastering pretty much done inside. They started on the outside. After that, it's doors and windows, and we're finished. When it's done, it will house 1,000 kids. Okay, we're almost finished. Go ahead and shut the lights off and play that video. It's not great quality, but you'll see it. These are just some pictures. Currently, that's outside. You can see how big it is, and they're beginning to, it's kind of, they plaster, it's similar to our stucco, and so they're kind of plastering, stuccoing the outside, covering up all the bricks. And then as soon as they're done with that, they put the doors and the windows in, and that joker's all finished. It's exciting to see it get to this level, isn't it? When I said I would do it, I had no idea it was going to be so big. And they assumed we were a big mega church because we're building the church so big. And I was like, no, we could fit like 10 of our churches inside the one we're building there. And but God was faithful, amen. The Lord has laid on my heart that we will not start our building until we finish this building. And I've maintained that, and you guys have heard me say that many times. And we're almost done with this, and we almost have, all the money. We need like another $8,000 to $10,000. That's it to finish the work. So we're really, really excited. And those of you that have been around here, you know that that's a small amount compared to, how much that we've sent there. It's actually a hair less than that, because believe it or not, the architect that is designing our current building, and I'm going to show you just a couple mock pictures that he sent me, but he called me the other day and said, can I donate some money towards the church in Uganda? Yeah. And it's funny because we haven't paid him a cent, and yet he's like, can I send you guys money? And I'm like, absolutely. let me give you the address. So, but he wanted to write a check, and it was a significant check towards the church in Uganda. Isn't that cool? Praise God. Amen. So, this past summer, we took our second trip to Africa, our second mission trip since I've been here. So in 3.5 years, we've been to Africa twice. We went back. We actually slept in that church, the whole team. Missions is huge for us. These places, the school... the church at the school, I'm looking where everything is, and the water project we did in Congo at the school that Amethyst helped birth that school there. They got 300 kids there, and we've got 11 pastors. I don't know if they're all there, but we have 11 senior pastors that we support in Honduras. And what happened was we were able to give each one enough money to start their own business. And they're bush pastors, so that they're able to just do ministry full-time. The business supports them. For instance, for the first one, we bought solar equipment to go on the house out in the bush so they can have electricity. And then all the people in the bush come, and it just blows my mind, but they pay 25 cents an hour to charge their cell phones out there. And that money supports the pastor and his family so the pastor can do ministry full-time. So sewing into those 11 pastors and their wives, right? So when I think about that, how many people are we touching down there in Honduras? You know, I want to say something, because people get confused about prophecy, and this is a teachable moment. When Mark Visser was here, he prophesied over us and over Chris and I, and he said, you're going to have a mega church, and there's going to be thousands of people. And immediately people came to me like, we got to get a bigger building and all the rest. But I immediately knew what that meant. And that was talking about the world worldwide. You understand? Thousands. You with me? And not under one building, but a mega church, you understand? With thousands of people in the nations, you understand? So sometimes we get locked in, we hear something, and we think this is what it means. Just another quick teachable moment. Mark Visser, he prophesied one time over this guy, and he said, you're going to minister in the mafia. And this guy got all offended and called him a false prophet and said, you know, that that's not going to happen. I don't have any desire to ever do that and all the rest. And, you know, he cut relationship with him. And then 10 years later, God called him and his wife to a certain part of the world in Asia. And there was an island, and there were all these people out on the island. And God told them, go out on that island and build a church. So they went out there, and they started to plant a church and build a church on the island, and then found out that the name of the island is Mafia. You understand? So sometimes you hear things and you say them, and people, like, you know, you have to let it marinate. Everyone say, let it marinate. You understand? Even he told us, he said, you're going to have houses. You're going to leave houses to all your kids. And people think, well, that's going to have all this money. You know what I was thinking? House of praise, house of prayer. You understand? You understand? He said Hannah was going to have homes in all 50 states. And people think, well, that's ridiculous. You're going to have a house in there. That's not what he said. He said, you have a home. That means that everywhere you go, there's going to be a home for you. You with me? So it's like you got to sometimes just rein some of this stuff in, and people get kind of, they start overthinking it. Just let it unfold and marinate and see what God says. Amen. So anyway, we're supporting those 11 pastors, the 300 kids in the Congo, the church building we're doing in Uganda. We're taking care of widows and orphans. This is Shannon Cornet Stone in South Africa. They'll be here with us in December. And this is in the first 3.5 years. And we just recently sowed a seed into Scotland and began to Skype and pray for missionaries that are with GOF, Global Outreach Foundation, in which Pastors Dave and Jet and I are all covered by, with Dean Ifaratis. And we sowed a check into them, and we started praying for them, Skyping with them and praying for them, because the Lord told us that the next place that we're supposed to go to open up a front in the world is Scotland. And I'm really excited about that, you know, because I just love the accent, first off, you know. You know what I mean? Freedom! But we're going to Scotland. And Scotland, why do we... Do you know that Scotland is less than 3% Christian? It's an unreached people group in the world right now. There's far more Christians in Africa than you'll find in a place like Scotland. So we're going to go there and preach the gospel and all the rest. And God's given us all this favor that I don't have time to get into that's opening up there in Scotland. So the present, where we've been building teams in-house. The staff has been coming. We've been, you know, building the board, the elders. You know, I want you guys, in fact, can I have the board? Can the board come up here, please, real quickly? Come up here quickly. So the board, so they know who you are. And then the elders, okay? Board, come over here, and elders, come over here, okay? Board, and then staff, come in the middle, okay? Yeah, okay. Norma's not here, but, you know, she's almost always here. It's like the first time. So right in the middle here, these are the elders, the three couples, okay, Brett and Norma, John and Terry, and John and Denise, amen, okay? And then this is the staff. These are all the pastors. Okay, here we are, praise God. And then this is the board of trustees. We created three-strand cords, not easily broken. So we've been working on doing all this stuff behind the scenes. Actually, the Lord's been working to make all this happen. And, you know, we've got, I don't know if you guys are spending time with these people right here, but these people are sharp. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the people, like, if you didn't know the answers, that you want to sit next to them in class. I'm talking about you guys. Yeah, Suzette, Rick, and Rich. Everyone give it up for Suzette, Rick, and Rich. Praise God. Suzette and Deanne. Deanne, please raise your hand. Suzette and Deanne. Deanne is co-treasurer, and Suzette's treasurer of the church, and they also oversee the entire financial team of the church, which, by the way, is the greatest run ministry in the church, which is really important, because if you don't have that in order, God does not take you to the next level. So we thank God for all these gifts. But anyway, we've been building all this staff and elders and board, and God's been putting all these things in place as we've been, you know, all, and it's not just this, it's head greeter, it's usher, it's, you know, check-in, it's, you know, Selena's back with the kids, obviously, but all this stuff has been going on. At the same time, we've been sowing seeds and reaching out to the nation, so that's where we've been kind of in the present season, amen? You guys can all sit down, thank you. You know, it's real, I find it very easy to promote these people. Like, here's what happens to me. God will just speak to me and say, put this person in this spot. That's how it works for me. I don't think, who would make a good, you understand? Like, for instance, John and Terry were recently promoted to elders. And what happened was, is we were having a prayer meeting at John and Denise's house with all the other elders, and we were praying, and the Lord said to me, John and Terry are the next elders. So I was like, well, all right then. That makes it pretty simple when the Lord speaks to you. You understand? Listen, why do you think Dave and Jed are here? I have a vision, and the Lord says, these people will run with you. And so that's, they move, you know, I told the board they're coming out here before I even called them. And I knew they were because I had a vision of, I had a vision of them. I saw Jet play the guitar, and this doesn't happen to me a lot, but I saw it so clearly. I was laying on the floor right there, and in 3 minutes when I came in to pray, and the Lord, and I heard God speak and said, these people will run with you, and here they are. And that's how, you know, that's why I tell you, you don't have to push your way. God knows right where you are, and he'll put you right where you need to be at the right time. Amen. Amen. So that's what we've been doing, praise God. Building teams, building vision, in-house, all the rest. So the future, what's the future of Harvest Church? Well, we're in transition. The Lord started to speak to me about changing the name. I started getting vision for where we're going based on the fact that I was at a wedding a couple years ago. John and I were at the wedding, and I believe Brett was there too at Bradley's wedding. And when we were there, it was in a barn, and the Lord spoke to me there, and he said, when you build the church, build a barn. So I started telling all the staff and all the elders that we're supposed to build a barn when we build the new church, and everybody was like, all right, yeah. You know. All right, yeah, let's build a barn, Pastor. That makes all the sense in the world. And then we had a prophet come, walk on the land. When we were there with the staff, was only there for a minute and a half, and turned to all of us and said, the Lord says, build a barn here on this property. And then I told them all, I said, I am not crazy. I told you that the Lord said, build a barn. Okay, now, I'm going to read you all something. Some of you have heard this, okay? After I announced all that, the Lord started speaking to me about all the signs that he had given me throughout my life about barns. First off, I grew up in upstate New York. I just recently took Brian and Angela up there, and we went for a ride one day, and Brian started taking pictures of barns, and after 100, he was like, I'm not going to take any more barn pictures, because there's just barns everywhere. But my wife, Chris, right here in the front row, she grew up in a barn that her dad built on their farm. There's a picture of it in the foyer. If you've ever wondered, why is there that picture of that barn, that house? There's a silo on it. In fact, Sarah, that's Chris's little sister, Sarah. Sarah lived in the silo. Her bedroom was in the silo of the house. They lived on the farm, right? And Chris and I got married at a barn in upstate New York called The Silo. In fact, I just took Pastors Brian and Angela to visit the place where we got married when we were up there. So God started showing all these signs to me. Then he reminded me how connected we are with Philip and Kelly Anderson up in Rockford, who are, building a Moravian House of Prayer in what? A barn, you know? And I was like, wow, all this barn stuff happened. And when after all this happened, I got a prophecy by a national prophet sent to me. And here's what it says. Gather the wheat into my barn, Matthew 13:30. An unprecedented harvest is coming. This has been prophesied for years, even decades. Many have seen this. I'm going to refrain from throwing out numbers, but I want to affirm the deep longing of the Father's heart. An inkling of the coming harvest is indeed upon us now. Watch this. It is going to start in barns. Indeed, humble dwellings. It will be a revival unto the harvest. Y'all with me? In ancient biblical times, barns were used to store the harvest. In pre-Roman times, barns were storehouses that were underground in caves, cisterns, or holes that were covered to ensure protection from the elements. The goal was to shelter the harvested goods from inclement weather and other dangers that could cause damage. Now let's fast forward to modern times. Going back a few hundred years, community events known as barn raisings were the norm. Communities banded together to either build a barn from the ground or help rebuild a fallen barn in disarray. Oftentimes, the survival of a farming family depended on the generosity of their fellow neighbors within the community. This custom became quite the norm. Likewise, we have stepped into a season where there are many barn raising of newly built barns, but also those to salvage barns on the brink of ruin. Perhaps more aptly stated, as barns raising from the dead. These barns certainly have seen better days. Their tired bones groan under the weight of rotting wood that's fallen into disrepair. But the Lord is restoring such old barns that will be used as hubs of revival for the days ahead. This is a key we must grasp right now. That which gives us a glimpse into our past history is but a foreshadowing of what will transpire in the days ahead. What is happening, watch this, across this nation, as believers band together in the bond of Christ's love to raise up barns, will foreshadow what the Holy Spirit desires to orchestrate in every community across the United States and abroad. Sons and daughters of the Lord of Lords working hand in hand, compelled by love to see the harvest harvested for the fame of the King of Kings. Even right now, the Holy Spirit, watch this, is orchestrating many behind-the-scene activities that will lead to miraculous barn-raising events throughout the United States. Many will transpire prior to the coming decade of the 2020s. I've been carrying this word since the spring of 2016, waiting to release it publicly. At that time, I clearly saw a three-year window from 2017 to 2020 with the Father's grace extended to those who have dreamed such dreams of raising up a barn. This could be a call to salvage material from a barn built centuries before, or to rebuild on the land, or perhaps you're called to build a new barn from scratch. Amen. Is there an old family barn you've heard of? And it goes on, and it talks about it becoming the hub of the barn revival. If I had time, I'd read more to you, but he talks about it already stirring in the hearts of pastors. Now, I got in touch with this national prophet, and I just sent an email to let him know, hey, listen, this crazy, this prophecy came to me after the Lord told us to build a barn, and I'd let everybody know. And so here's what happened. They're having a barn meeting revival where they've called people from all over the nation to pray this in and launch this thing in Fredericksburg, Virginia next month in May. And here's what they said. Pastor, can you come up and testify to everybody about the vision that God's put in your heart? Do you see everywhere we go, there's favor. It's crazy, you know. Everywhere, you know, God's favor is, you know, he's just giving it to us. So we're going to head up there, this next coming month and going to testify. Philip Anderson is flying in from the Moravian House of Prayer to meet me there and also testify because I said, look, I have another friend who's also doing a barn raising. Let's let him come share too. So we're and they're like, Pastor, thank you so much for coming. I'm like, no problem. Amen, you know, praise God. Amen. This is why the name change. Does it make sense? It's a new season, and the season is harvest. You know, when I realized we're going there, we started to kick around. You know, something about the harvest, the silo, this, that. God, what is the name of the church? And Shannon and where is Shannon? Where'd she go? Oh, she's doing the ice cream thing. And there's Mr. Shannon right there. For those of you that weren't here Sunday, Shannon is now engaged to this fine specimen of a man. We're so happy for them, praise God. We're going to celebrate with them. Pastor Otis and I are going to do a joint wedding and marry the two of them. Yeah, isn't that great? We're going to tag team it. And here's the crazy thing. This isn't the first time we've done that before. We tag team with at least one of the Rarick girls. We married all the Rarick girls. He married some, I married some, and then we married some together. The ceremonies, you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. So Shannon and Elder John both told me like within a short window, they felt like the name was Harvest. And, you know, we're building the barn, and it's all about bringing in the harvest, and we took it to the Lord. And I said, that is the name of the church, and we're building the barn. When we move, it will be Harvest Church at the barn, and it makes a lot of sense. Amen? So we have just a preliminary picture that the architect sent me today. He tried to hustle, but this is this will be the entrance way, kind of into the church. It's got barn doors, and there is a literal silo. And the silo on the church will not only be used for prayer, but after every service, we'll take new people into the silo. We'll say, if this is your first time here, then come with Pastor so-and-so into the silo, and there'll be coffee and some good set up there, some literature, and an opportunity to meet and greet the pastor staff and pray. And so we're just teeming with vision, you know, for this. And, you know, and we're coming to the end of the church in Africa, and we felt like God was like, look, build that church first. I think that sometimes the way we think is, no, we got to build our church first. But like, no, let's build a church for the orphans first. Let's give water for the kids in Africa. Let's take care of the pastors in Honduras. Let's take care of the widows and orphans in South Africa. You understand what I'm saying? It is all about this barn being a hub for the nations, okay? That's what you need to understand. It is about going into the world and making disciples. That's what we want to do. And so that you please understand, it's not about how many people we can get in that building. It's about how many people we can send out of that building into the nations. Okay. So that's kind of some vision for where we're going in the future. I hope you guys are jacked up, excited about that. The future is souls. Even this Saturday, we have our first little outreach here, first kind of main thing that we've done since I've been here. And we did a race one time, but you know, we're doing a free car wash, a pancake breakfast, which we want you all to come to, okay? You know, the leadership team is serving in the youth, but bring your car, get your car washed, eat breakfast. If you need prayer or there's somebody that you want to bring, please bring. Why are we doing this? Because the Lord told us to do this. I sent out a team today. I didn't tell them till today, and but I called them on my way here, and I was like, I need you guys all to come to the church, and they didn't even know why. So they all show up here in the church, and then Shannon comes, and I'm like, boom, make a flyer, hurry up, and print it off, you know. And then I said, Angela, you got this, because I had another meeting with Rick, and she didn't know anything about it, but she ran with it. And we sent out these teams, and out they went, passing out flyers and meeting people in the community, inviting them to church and going door to door. And it's just, you understand, this is the transitional season that we're in, because God told us the first few years you need to do in-reach, because really there was a lot of stuff that needed to be fixed in-house. And it's not that it's all perfect, but we're ready to start doing outreach now, not only to the world, but to our community. We have to be faithful to reach our Jerusalem. Amen. So we're going to reach Jerusalem, but we're also going to reach the nations. Or this big project of building this church, when I came here, the Lord spoke to me and said that you will do at least 25 international projects on this level, you know, big things in the nations, okay? And that's what I see. And I've told you this before. Last time I was there, two times ago I was there, I was preaching at a pastor's conference. I sat down, and as I sat down, my heart was just budding with this vision to build schools and churches and wells, you know, orphanage throughout the world. And I thought, how the heck am I? I barely got money to pay the bills, you know, myself. And I sat down, and 10 seconds later, the bishop of that whole area came over and through the interpreter, got down, prayed over my feet, and said, God is going to cause wealthy people to come to fund everything that's in your heart to do. Praise God. And you know, we've seen this happen with this church going up. Praise God. It's been a miracle. And I want to tell you, the church that we're believing that God's going to build our church, and that we're not going to have to borrow money for it. You understand? We're believing that God has the money, and that, you know, we're doing just what y'all did down there. We went and dug a hole, buried a Bible, and prophesied to the land that a church would be there. Amen? And we're believing for God to move. It's not that we say, God, you have to, but we believe that he's going to. You understand? And we just believe that God's going to do that. Now, these people in Africa that believe for this big church that we've been building, they needed the same type of faith to believe for that building that we need to believe for our building. If you look at the currency rates, it's right about on par, you know, that it would be like us believing for, we need millions of dollars to build our building. For them, it was that kind of faith that they prayed, and all of a sudden, seeing this church rise up, God met that need, and God is no respecter of person. He'll meet that need, and I believe he wants this barn built to reach the community and nations, because it's all about winning souls. Can you say amen? So, it is about entering into the season now where we go after souls, we win souls, and we make disciples. And so that's the future. And so what does the Bible say? Jesus said, do not say 4 months and then the harvest, but lift up your eyes now and see that the fields are white for harvest. You understand? So it's a new day. It's a new season. It's a transitional time of getting in our hearts to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? And we believe that God told us to build a barn to do it. And I got to tell you, when I found out that pastors are building barns, I mean, I started Googling it, and oh my gosh, they're everywhere. I was like, wow, I am not in charge here. You think you came up with a good idea, and you're like, no. Jesus is doing something from sea to shining sea. It has entered in the hearts of God's people to raise barns because the harvest is coming in. Can you say amen? Amen. So that's where we are, and now we're going to spend just a few minutes praying about that, and then we're going to have some cake and ice cream. Is that okay? All right, I went a few minutes over, but here's my part. My part is now over, and I'm going to pass this to Pastor Angel. Amen.
Sure. If I can have the elders all come up, all three of you guys. All three groups. Mr. Brett, let's all come up. Let's have you guys. We're going to do this in order. You guys can get in the middle. You guys get over there. There we go. Awesome. Yes, the Church of Order. This is my job, really. So we're just going to pray. We're going to do some work in the spirit, what Pastor said. So I really want you guys to join. This next few minutes is going to be planting seeds. So we're going to do this through prayer language because the things that are coming out of our mouth are what the Lord has for us. So you can join us. We're going to have our elder Brett is going to just honor the past. So we want to honor that past. And then we are going to just be thankful for the present and just talk about how, ask the Lord to help us in the transition. And then John and Terry are going to pray us into the future. And then when John says amen, we're just going to celebrate for the season ahead. Okay, amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's two men that I don't know, but their names are Jeff and Taylor, correct? Yeah. And they were here, and God gave them things to do. So we're going to pray for them. Now I want to just remind you what the pastor said. Without that foundational work of what they did, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to pray for them, and I don't want to encourage you to press in. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these men that you sent before us. We thank you for Jeff and his family, and we thank you for Taylor and his family. And Father, we pray, Lord, we are thankful for them that, Lord, you begun a work in this community many years ago, 11 years ago, and now this is a time of transition. But Father, we pray specifically for them. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in their lives today. And we thank you for their families. We speak blessing over their families. We ask God that they would have seed to sow in what they're involved in right now. We ask God that you would surround them and give them increased and continued vision for whatever it is that you have called them to do. In short, Father, humbly, we ask that you pour out a blessing on these men and their families, and that, Lord, you continue to instill in their spirits things and speak to them about what you want them to do. Their season has ended in this work that you have called them to do. But, God, I know that you have plans for them in the future. So, Father, we pray, Lord, and thank you for these men and their families. Pour your spirit out on them, O God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, God. Give them direction, God. Give them wisdom. And Lord, thank you for these men that you sent to do this groundwork, which was a season before this time we are in now, which was very necessary. And lastly, Father, for all of the people that they touched in this community, all of the 68 people that were baptized in one day, all of the different people, God, that are right close to this area that had something dropped, a seed, we pray that those seeds will come alive and they will begin, this community will rise and wake up. We ask these things, that the seeds will not fall and be void, but they will accomplish what your word was sent forth to do in each and every person that was touched through this ministry in the past. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you with thanksgiving in our heart right now, Lord. We thank you for the past season, and we are thankful for the present season we're in. Lord, we thank you for your provision, providing a man of God, Lord, who is listening, seeking your face, and staying the course no matter what. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor, for Chris, for the family, Father. We pray a special blessing over them right now, a prayer of protection, and of discernment, Father God. Let no weapon form against them prosper, Father God, as we go through this transitional season. Lord, we're even thankful for this transition we're about to go through. But Father, again, we're thankful for your provision. Thank you for allowing the church this size to provide a church in Africa, to provide the orphans, yes, in South Africa, to provide water in the Congo. Lord, this it's only you can provide this. It's only because of you, Lord. And so we're so thankful for your faithfulness, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And we ask for continued favor, Father God, as we go into this transition, because the harvest is ripe, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Father God, we just thank you again for where we are, for where we have come from. You have brought us here, Lord God. You are the one that has ordered our steps. You have laid the vision on the hearts of our leadership. You have paved the way for us to get to where we are now, Lord God. And as I think people that are driving by this facility, driving by, they don't see anything different on the outside. The only thing different is that little sign. They might even think, oh, gosh, I wonder what happened to that church. The Reflections isn't anymore. But you see, Lord, you don't look on the outside. You look on the inside. You have made this transition. You have made this into your church. And Father God, I ask that those people will be driving by and they can move. Well, let me see what has happened and come in and see what has happened and what can happen to them, Father God. And we know, Father God, that this is true religion, the care for the orphans and the widows, that you have set that into motion, Father, here in our community and across the world. We thank you, Father God, for the vision. We thank you for equipping us to make that happen. In Jesus' name.
Father God, we just thank you for this vision, God. Yes. You've given this church, Lord God. Your word says the fields are white with harvest, God. We thank you, God, that you gave us a vision to build a barn and to fill it, God. And not only to fill the barn in this church, Lord God, in this community, but barns across the world, God, that the vision to build 25 different projects like the one we built in Uganda, God, that we're going to be filling barns all over the world from this little community, Lord God. It started from a small thing back years ago, 11 years ago with Reflections Church. It's going to end with Harvest Church filling barns all over, Lord God, because of the vision you gave pastors and the prayer that's been birthed in this community over years, God. We just thank you, Jesus, that you're giving us a vision to go and make disciples and to do the call of the Bible, God, of the call of the Great Commission, in Jesus' name.
And Lord God, you said in Leviticus, you shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. So we just thank you, Father God, that you have given us the old provision, Father God. But we are ready and we are excited to clear it out so the new can come, Father God. I thank you. When I walked the property last night, you gave me the word, attach your heart to this passion and this vision that the pastor has, Father. I thank you for Rob and Chris, Father God. We know them, Father God. I've been there for confirmations of the words you've spoken over their lives, Father God. And we thank you, Father, that we are a church that won't stay in the past. We are going to move forward and follow your marching orders, Father God. So I just ask you, Father God, that you would send the laborers that we need to make this happen, Father God. We call forth the wealth that has been prophesied over this church, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that our hearts will be attached to your kingdom, Father God. That you, Father God, will be the only thing we put first, Father God. That we will reach this community and reach this nation for you, Jesus. Build us as a mighty army, Father God, to march for you, Father God. One person, one body marching for you, Father God, to see your kingdom come here on earth.
Let's give the Lord a shout. Yeah, don't mind. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. So once again, you know, particularly in the spirit, this night is about honoring all those who have gone before. We don't know. We don't know all the prayers. We don't know all the sacrifice that was made, all the people that watched kids, that ushered, that greeted, that cleaned floors, that moved and set up equipment and prayed and worshiped and preached. And, you know, there's so many, they're not here now, but, you know, without them, this isn't happening. And so in the spirit, we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank God for the season that he has us in right now. We welcome the transition to harvest, and we say, God, we just want to do our part, and we look forward to the future of being a building a barn and being a hub that reaches the nations of the world. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Yeah. Let's have some cake and ice cream. I would pray over that, but you really can't bless stuff that's bad for you, but enjoy it anyway.